And welcome to this week's Mungle Show. I am Matt Mungle. As always, appreciate you hanging out with us each week here for the show, radio, podcast, however you get us. I just appreciate you getting us. Remember, everything that we do, you can check out mungleshow.com. Follow us there. Let us know what's going on with you. If you're listening on the radio show, I always remind you, you can check out the podcast. It has a lot more information on there that you might enjoy. So again, you can check that out at mungleshow.com. Joining me, as always, from this chicksflix.com, it is Susan Kamyop Stevens.
Hey.
What are you watching? What's really good right now that's come across your radar?
Gosh. Okay. Well, I literally just finished Hacks, which was like a biggie because I feel like that's been on my list forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to say, like, I think the biggest thing, well, it took a while. The first two seasons were just okay for me. And then season 3 and 4 is where it hits its stride. But I have to give a big shout out to Caitlin Olson. That's who is in High Potential and yep. Always Sunny. I watch her in Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which they started their new season as well that you can stream on Hulu. Mm-hmm. I plan on watching that, but we're going to let some of that build up. So we'll watch the new season of Always Sunny. But and she's actually my favorite character on that as well, but it's also like a really stupid show. Like I get very frustrated. I just feel like it's like dumb chaos. Mm-hmm. I watch it more because of Trevor. He loves it. But watching her in Hacks, she plays Jean Smart's daughter. She is, yeah. Well, she had her at a young age.
Sure.
And she is so freaking good on that show. She is my favorite character. I think like she's hilarious, her delivery, but like there's also a vulnerability to her. And like it just showed a lot of depth. I'm so happy that we've voted for her for the critics, I mean Super Awards, which I know was for High Potential, but I just feel like she's more than meets the eye as an actor. I think there's just like a really, like what I saw on that show, I was like, she is good. She's not just like, slapstick comedy.
Right. Yeah. So, and I kind of get that she would be multiple dimension, even in this crime show that's mm-hmm. funny and she's quirky and wears her little skirts and she's got this, and she just kind of goes against the rules of the police force and it's just fun, but you can tell there's more to it than that. She has like a little depth to her that doesn't necessarily even need to be in the character, but she has it there anyway, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, anyways, that was really cool. And the finale was fine. I still think the comeback, I really believe for Lisa Kudrow for best mm-hmm. comedy actress this year. Switch it up, people. Let's not just give it to Jean Smart every year.
Let's not.
Please.
On Hacks, was Caitlin Olsen in season one, or did she come in later?
No, she's in season one. She's always there. I know. I didn't even
a lot know she was on the show. Like a lot of scenes, or just every now and then.
I mean, I think she's considered a guest, but she's a regularly reoccurring guest. I would say she shows up every season, couple of episodes. The final season. She wasn't in as much, but she had a really great episode. I thought.
That's wild. It's wild that my brain just didn't make those connections, and maybe because I wasn't a huge fan of Hacks first season. I didn't really maybe invest enough to.
Did you watch it? First season?
I watched the first half of the first season and I was like, I got away from it and then I just didn't go back and there was so much other stuff to watch and then it became so much that I just never did.
To be honest, season one and season two were a struggle for me. I actually thought season one was a struggle. Mm-hmm. Season two was my least favorite. And it was, so I don't blame you for walking away. It was kind of hard, but Caitlin Olsen was in there, but I don't know when she would have popped up, but
it's crazy.
I don't know. It's a fun watch. I wanted to see it just in time before the Emmys happen. So I'll have mm-hmm. a fresh, it's kind of like battle of Lisa Kudrow and Jean Smart right now for that category. So I wanted to be like prepared.
Yeah, I'm worried. Well, no, because it'll be part of the Emmys next season, next year too. Because won't it fall, whatever's current right now will fall into next year's Emmys? Or will this be the last time it's ever eligible for an Emmy?
this is the last time.
All right.
So good. That's why I'm a little worried they may be like, oh, let's give it to her for her final season. But I'm like, y'all, she's got like 20. Like, she's fine.
Yeah, I don't think she wants it. She probably doesn't even want it.
I don't even think she'll care. Like, let's not worry about it.
And that's a good question as to, I would be interested in talking to actors and actresses who have won multiple awards for the same character. Does it mean, obviously it means huge things the first time.
Yeah.
But after two or three of doing the same character, you're like, okay, I get it. You like, I just wonder if it loses its luster. It's like, okay, I know you love this character. It's the same character I've been doing for five seasons.
Right.
And then other people that are coming around with new stuff. I just wonder what it means. Obviously, if I was in that position, it would be so much an honor to be nominated even and to win. But I just wonder if after a while they just feel like it's as silly as we think it is.
I mean, that's why I think for some, and maybe we're reading Jean Smart wrong, but when she talks, she literally seems to not, like at this point, seems to be over awards. Right. So that's at least the impression she gives when she wins anything. So I don't know. I mean, and then you got Caitlin Olson who won for a Critics' Choice for a Super Award, and she was ecstatic. I mean, I almost felt emotional for how grateful she was. And that's the kind of reactions that, and I'm not saying people should win because they are going to be more appreciative. I just think that I hope we are not, and the Academy doesn't vote for stuff just because like, oh, like a lifetime achievement. Oh, we got to give it to her because it's her final season. No, you really don't. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's really okay.
So, and the same goes for, I mean, there have been people who have been nominated multiple years and never won. I mean, there's people who have set records for the amount of nominations without a win. And I don't think you should give it to them just because they've never won, obviously.
Agreed, yeah.
But at the same time, I do feel like they would appreciate at least the opportunity not to just keep giving it to the same person. I mean, I don't know. Awards, that's the hard part about award shows. You just...
It is.
Yeah.
It is. We're watching, or I finished that. We were watching, because like I said, we're waiting for Ted Lasso to build up because we want to watch Ted Lasso and Always Sunny. That's probably the lineup of shows for me and Trevor. We finished, we streamed Pressure on Peacock. Did you watch that yet?
No, it's in my list to watch. Why haven't I watched Pressure yet?
I don't know. Why haven't you done that?
Because that's the war one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where he plays D-Day. Churchill, or no, he plays
Eisenhower.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser and Andrew Scott. Chris Messina's in it as well. It's a pretty good cast in general. Yeah. It's good.
I love Scott, man. He'll always be Moriarty from Sherlock to me, though. Always.
Oh.
He was such a good Moriarty. So I've just loved him and everything since then. And of course, Fraser we love. I just haven't been up for any kind of war thing lately.
That's how I felt. I mean, I had it on my list because I love Brendan Fraser. So I was already like, I'm in this renaissance. So anything he's in, I'm going to watch.
Sure.
And it had really good reviews. Trevor loves that kind of stuff. That's totally, he loves history. And I'm like, my favorite. But what I appreciated about it is it wasn't like war. It's more behind the scenes of like Andrew Scott playing this meteorologist and how they're preparing what day to attack because of the weather and how that plays in. So I thought that was a really unique aspect and something different. I'm still never going to love a war scene because I hate seeing people die like that. But no, it wasn't. It's worth the watch. And it's really not terribly long. It's like an hour and 40 minutes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So it's not, we watched it in 2 days, which is really good for me and Trevor. I was like, we're doing this. We're not doing this whole thing where we watch it in like 5 minute increments, but it's worth it. You should watch it.
I will watch it, especially because when I did revisit the premise of like, oh, this weatherman in charge of this event, it's like, I just never took that concept of being something that happens, but it makes sense that they would have to look at that as well. You know?
I mean, to be honest, I didn't even know that's what the movie was about. They start with that, and I'm like, what? This is, and it's funny thing, it starts like, is this really what the movie's gonna be about? Or are we talking about weather? Like, what? But that's what I do. If there's one thing I can appreciate, it's an original, like taking a story like that that could be so formulaic and giving an original spin on it and show this like a unique point of view. Like, I really did like that. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, I really respect it. And I thought they did a good job with it. So, yeah, no, it's great film to stream right now. And then obviously the next thing we're gonna watch is The Last House. Is that what it's called? Just The Last House?
The Last
Okay.
House on Netflix.
We'll probably, I would imagine, maybe start that tonight. But yeah, that one will be next. And then like as we'll get on Ted Lasso. I'm watching some shows I need to watch for Netflix in our preview account. It said Crew Girl and then I'm trying to think what else is coming out. Yeah.
There's a few things coming out on Netflix that I'm pretty excited about. Did you start Sterling Point? I asked you last week and I can't remember.
No, I'm gonna put that back for a bit just because I have so many other stuff I need to watch. I need to get
Plus,
that.
it's now they got pushed for season two, just announced. So I know you like to
Oh,
wait
did
till it's
they?
done.
Oh, yeah. I'll probably wait then. I'll probably do what I did with like The Summer I Turned Pretty. I'd rather binge that all out. So I will wait on that. I do
Makes
want to
sense.
see that pastor's wife thing that you and oh, obviously I'm watching. We caught up on Let's Marry Harry and the reunion is next week. So I'll
Oh,
get that
Harry.
too. But yeah, the pastor's wife, I saw the trailer and I was like, ooh, I guess I need to ask them to put it in the account.
I'm surprised yours isn't in there because, we watched it. We binged it. It's 3 45-minute episodes, and we literally sit down and watched it like a movie Tuesday night. We just watched it from all three, and
How I would do it.
it is a, I can't talk a lot about it. The embargo lifts next week. So next week on next week's show,
Oh.
talk more about it. But yeah, it's but keep that on your radar if you're a fan of those crime docs on
Is
Netflix.
this going to be one of those things that we need to like talk how we talk Maternal Instinct?
Not to that depth. This one, I'm not saying too much by saying that this one is sad more. In fact, the next day, Kimberly was like, I was up all night kind of just thinking about this story and how sad it is. And so it's, but there's some things that are going to affect because of this story that that I think are really cool. So that's coming for sure. So there's some good stuff out there. Did you start? I know we just started Love is Blind UK because that premiered the other night.
It
Are you going to watch
premiered
it? Yeah, the first season of Love is Blind UK.
the first, you mean the
Well, the first
third?
episode of the new season.
Oh, I didn't even know it came out already. I knew it was coming soon, so I didn't realize.
So,
Is it worth it? Should I
you
keep
know what?
watching?
It's funny. Kimberly loves the UK version more than the American version. She just thinks the people are more genuine. Their hearts are more genuine. It's not so, but as with every season, there's your people you love and those people you're like, man, you dodged a bullet with this guy if you don't pick him. So yeah, it's worth watching. We'll see how it goes. We literally just started it. We're on like episode two, but there's some interesting people in there and some good storyline. So.
Which one do you like more, the American or the UK?
You know what? It's funny. I'm so tired of the American one only because I feel like it's been so boring lately, and then people don't stay together. I think I like the UK more from the perspective of an experience and an experiment watching it because the people in the UK they just approach life different. They don't seem to be as some are, but they don't seem to be as much caught up in the whole look at me, social media. Want to be a star. I mean, I think they're really in there as a genuine reason to find love. So I'm not saying I like one more than the other. I just feel like I end up liking the people more on the UK version than I have lately on the American version. So if that's
I
fair.
think you're right too. I added it to my list because it seems like all the episodes are out almost.
Yeah, I
So
think so. I think they just dumped them all at once. Like they now maybe the weddings,
reunion,
yeah, the
the
weddings and the reunion
weddings,
and stuff
wedding.
might not be out there, but I think everything else should pretty much be out there.
Yeah, I typically watch UK and the US one, and that's where I stop.
And we're watching Reacher. The new season of Reacher is so good. Oh my gosh, I love that show. I'm hoping it doesn't get too, like I said, it's still really good. It's just getting a little repetitious. But the books are repetitious. I mean, if you just like, I'm watching this and I have to be quiet because Kimberly's like, I know you know exactly what Reacher's about to do because I've read all, I mean, I've read all 30 books or whatever, how many ever there are. Probably not.
I was gonna ask how many books are there?
There's so many. And I've been reading them since the 90s. And so, I mean, and they make his character so much what the books are, so much more than the Tom Cruise movie. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was fun. That
Yeah.
So I'm really liking it. And I just think that Alan's such a great Jack Reacher.
He's just sorry. No, he's great. He's really great. Are you excited for Neagly?
I am excited for Neagly only because she is a really cool character in the Reacher saga. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. I'm going to start the episodes today. They send them to me to watch.
Yeah.
And same. I'm really curious because, you know, growing up, and I want to kind of talk to her about this, that growing up and for me, maybe the same for you, because I'm definitely older than you, but there wasn't any, you take out the superheroes, like the Bionic Woman and Wonder Woman, you take those out of the picture. There weren't really any kick butt, strong female people like that. And mm-hmm. so I feel like almost like roles like she's doing now is 20 years from now, young women can look back and go, oh yeah, I remember watching her kick mm-hmm. butt as this character, you know, because we don't really have that many characters outside of the comic book superhero world. We had Lara Croft. Like I said, we had Bionic Woman, we had Wonder Woman. Other than that, who do we have? There really isn't a lot.
I mean, it's like there was some on shows, like I would say Buffy was one. Buffy was a big one for me.
Right.
Xena Warrior Princess.
Yeah, but again, Xena, it's not like not somebody who has a normal job.
Oh, you're That's talking about
their job. I mean, she's a private detective who was in the military. She was a military cop who's now a private detective.
So you're saying not a, well, you said Wonder Woman. So you're saying not a,
yeah, well, you're not just a regular Wonder Woman's a superhero. So
well,
it's like,
that's what I'm saying. You used her as examples. So, yeah,
no, I'm saying that was the only examples we had mm-hmm. were those kind of people. And so it's kind of cool to see somebody in the real world with just a normal job that's out there just kicking butt. I just think it's cool. So, yeah, I say all that to say I'm excited for the series. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Jack, I think he's going to make some cameo appearances.
He would have to at least do one.
Yeah, I know that, you know, she's popped in and helped him with some. Problems, so maybe he'll do the same because it probably depends on how the series go. It's not like Mandalorian coming in to save the Obi-Wan series.
So is she in the books? Is Neagly in the books?
Yeah, not as often. Okay. I think there's one or two books because they were together in the 101 mm-hmm. and kind of he brought her up and trained her, and so she is in the books as well. But I think she was such a hit on the show that they were like, hey, we should probably start a spinoff of this. So that's what they're doing. Yeah. So that's exciting to check out.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, all the normal stuff that I mean, watching tons of stuff on BritBox and Prime and all the cooking stuff. I know there's probably something else we're watching that I can't even think about. But yeah, the Pastor's Wife, keep that on your radar. Oh, yeah. I'm excited to talk about that for sure.
I'm excited to see that one.
I know I've mentioned this to you because it's such a big deal on Apple TV, but it came up again to me is Silo. Did you ever watch Silo?
No, I didn't.
See, I haven't either. And I was talking to another friend of mine. We always kind of like every now and then she's like, hey, what's good to watch? And I'll be like, hey, watch this or this. And she's like, yeah, I'm binging Silo and it's so good. And I'm like, I've heard so much stuff. And even during our Super Awards, there were so many nominations for this latest season. I should go back and watch Silo.
But it didn't win. Like
it didn't win, but it's enough to get people nominated. And everybody's saying that this is probably the best season yet. Mm. So I don't know. I'm just wondering if I should revisit it or not.
I have heard good things. I don't know why it doesn't appeal to me.
I don't. Well, I think because I tried to watch season one and I couldn't get through it. And even my friend was like, season one's hard. Her husband bailed halfway through season one. So I think you got to just stick with it. Mm. I think that's going to be the thing. So. I don't know. So, but there's a lot of stuff out there to watch, a movie wise. And there's something last week we said we were going to talk about this week. What was it? We said we need to talk about blah 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 because you and I had both watched it. I should have went back and referenced that podcast last week because I don't remember what show we were.
What was it?
I don't know. Something else. We were like, oh, we should talk about this because now we've both seen it or we're both going to see it. I don't know. Maybe we'll remember for next week because I can't remember.
Now I can't remember.
It wasn't a movie.
Oh, it was Buddy.
Buddy, that's what it was.
It was Buddy.
I have heard Buddy from my brain. That's what it was because I had such a great question for you.
Okay.
Because you grew up with Barney and the whole kids thing. Because when I was a kid, we didn't have things like Barney. We had like Mr. Rogers and Captain Kangaroo. But then later on, there was Barney and a couple of others. Mm-hmm. And I know our oldest son, Gage, just loved Barney. He was just like, that was it. There was nothing greater or more magical than Barney. So and it sounds like you were in that same place.
I was obsessed. I still have my original Barney doll that like plush that now belongs to my son that I like kept because I was like, this is iconic. I'm not getting rid of this. Every day after school, I would like, that was the show I couldn't wait to like rush to and watch and sing the I Love You song and do the hand motions. And I just like, it was like my favorite show. I was like, I think I believed in him for a little bit too.
Sure.
I thought that was like a real
of course.
Thing. Like,
why would you not?
I mean, yeah. Yes. I loved Barney.
Yeah, well, this one, Buddy, obviously takes a really big piece out of the Barney world about these kids that are in this make-believe land, and there's this unicorn that comes to life when they say the name, and they sing songs and learn life lessons. But then you find out that there's a dark, dark twist happening. I will say that after I got through the first 30 minutes of the movie, it was good. The first 30 minutes... if you hadn't already watched it, I would have bailed.
Yeah.
Because at first it feels like, are they just going to do montages?
No, that's what I was worried about. I was like, I even told Trevor when we were watching, I was like, I really hope it's not this the entire time where it was like, you know, that world and it was just keep on doing it. But I knew Kristen Milioti was in it and they kept doing these flashes that were like, teasing to real world. So I was like, no, we've got something's about to gel here in a minute. We just got to wait. And once it did, it was like, that's where it really took off for me. And I was like, oh, okay. I like this. But yeah,
I liked it for a while, but then I didn't like it again.
But yeah.
There were some things about it, but yeah, the first ones, cause they keep doing the thing with the intro song. And then they have a lesson, and then there's the song with the credits rolling, which later on makes sense why they keep showing that. But I was about the third time, I'm like, okay, we need to do something different because it takes off. But yeah, it's just this dark, sinister world. And I thought too, it was going to be more about maybe the guy that played, like if you did a thing with Barney and the person in the Barney costume, you found out was kind of a 1 hour photo guy who was just a creepy stalker killer guy. But it's not that even at all. I mean, Buddy is really, he's a fantastical creature that comes to life. So it's not like a guy in a suit who's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like,
well,
this
even
thing
though
is crazy.
In real life, we just need to give this credit to like Keegan-Michael Key, who does a phenomenal, phenomenal job playing Buddy. I think his voice is so like, I'm like, this is totally like a great satire of like a evil Barney, you know, like that was...
And you don't even really recognize him at first that it's him.
No.
It's not just obvious. You wouldn't listen to it. Oh, that's him. So that makes it cool too. Mm-hmm. And then like the original Barney show, they do two actors. One's in the suit and one voices the same way Barney did. And so it's kind of fun to see that. But yeah, it just does some things. And then the ending, I just did not like the ending. I told you about that. I just was frustrated with the ending. I was frustrated with there was a lot of answers I didn't get. It wasn't a closure that I wanted. So, but it's going to be streaming. I think horror fans who want something twisted differently, maybe they'll like it. I mean, do you think it's going to do well streaming with the horror fans or?
Is it streaming only?
No, I think it's in.
It's going to be in theaters.
Theaters for a while, but I'm telling people don't go to the theater and see it. I'm saying wait for it to stream. I would feel bad if people paid money to see this in the theater.
Okay. I think it depends who you're watching it with, because I do feel like, I mean, if I was Trevor, he didn't really watch Barney as much as I did, but he still could appreciate because his sister loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So he was laughing quite a bit from it. Like he really got the humor. I could see it being fun. Like, if I was watching it with like a fellow Barney fan, like it could be a fun matinee. I do think it's totally, if you want to wait for streaming, you're gonna probably enjoy it more because you don't have to think about the money. But I don't know. I just had fun with it because I was a Barney person. So it's like, especially if you ever once believed in Barney, you're like, that's what this would be. It's like, this is the real thing. And oh my God, what if he was evil? And it's just, there's a lot of WTF moments that I really like cracked up over too. I
There are some
really,
that you crack up over and some that you really cringe over.
yeah, you
There was one
cringe.
scene in general that I was like, what is going
Oh,
on? And even before that,
I know what scene you're talking about,
you do,
probably.
but what he does even before that, where it's like, these are little kids, you know?
Yeah,
And I was like,
yeah.
this is a little girl in the woods. And so, yeah, so it was like, that was odd to me. But I don't know. I mean, the concept was amazing. I give it props for the
Yes.
concept. I just think that it needed some help landing the plane.
It felt though like in some ways I also could see this being like a cult classic, you know? Like I could see with time going on people being like this is a movie you get stoned to and like whatever, you know, like
That's true. If I had some
or
mushrooms laying around, I'd be like, give me some
midnight
of that
movie,
gummies.
that kind of thing. Like I don't know. It's definitely, I don't know. I just thought it was
I guess because too, I'm such a huge fan of the Five Nights at Freddy's movies. I think I wanted more of that strongness to it. And not that it's trying to be that at all, but
yeah.
I could see a crossover there with the fans. But yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess if you want to go see it in the theater, you got some bucks to throw around, but man, I don't know. I don't know how it felt if I would have paid to have seen it. I might have been a little ticked. I might have been
I,
like going off with my own little axe in the woods. I don't
oh
know.
my gosh, I didn't mind it, but you didn't watch Barney, you
I
don't know.
didn't. Now, I would say if you have a Barney costume, or if you can go to Spirit Halloween and find a Barney costume and go see it in the theater dressed up like Barney, that might be fun. Might be fun for everybody else in there. That
I
might be
guess
cool.
I don't know how you're gonna sit down.
That's true. So you're always
Yeah.
being rational. I don't know how you'd sit down. How you go to pee and sit down and eat your snacks?
Oh
Can't do it.
yeah, you
Can't
can't
do
do that.
it.
You can't do that.
Yeah. Well, fun. Well, it is out there, so. If you want to check it out, you can. And
Well, and it
like I said,
comes
the fact that they
out.
got Kristen and Topher Grace
Yeah.
and the cast that they have, that was too impressive to me. I think that's another thing that bothered me is I think they didn't use them to their potential. Maybe they
Maybe
did.
not Topher Grace. I thought Kristen Milioti was pretty good. It,
Yeah.
by the way, it comes out August 28th. So.
In theaters?
Yeah.
All right. So you got a whole week to ponder it, to think about it, to
Yeah.
study it, then do what you got to do. All
All
right, well, in
right.
the little time we have left, I thought we'd play a game. There's a game they play on The Office when they were waiting for the fire trucks called Desert Island. There's all these
Oh,
different versions of it. And we've kind of done
gosh.
this before on the show with actors and stuff, but I thought it'd be
Yeah.
fun to do a desert version part of this, but do it with actual shows. Like if you were on a
Okay.
desert island and you could pick two or three classic sitcoms or dramas from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Like to take with you. You could only take one to watch. Which ones would you take? And you only get one classic show, which is pre-2000. You get one
Okay.
classic show to take. You get one comfort binge, which could be any time, one series, show, whatever, that it's a comfort binge. You only get one of those. And then you get one show that is currently now on television that hasn't been on before, maybe a new season. You only get one of each to take with you. So we'll start with
What? Oh, I was just gonna ask just really quick. So would Friends would have to be a classic because it came out before 2000, right?
right. Or you could use that as a comfort binge because the comfort binge can be from any time. It's just what you consider to be your comfort show that you go to.
And then
So, and
something
then
that's
one that's
airing
currently on right
currently
now.
on right now. Oof.
And you're stuck, and that's all you can take is one from each of those.
So currently on right now means it has to be running still,
Yeah,
like it's
it's a
not, it
current
doesn't
running
matter.
show and probably something that's, you know, hasn't been on since 2000s. Like, I don't know, there's some shows that have been on forever. Maybe like something that's maybe not more than two or three seasons deep. I think that those two are the hard. I think the comfort for me seems easy. The comfort show for me is a no-brainer, which would be The Office, because I feel like I put The Office on anytime, anywhere, and no matter what the episode is, and I'm going to take comfort from that. That's my comfort binge, is The Office.
It's a really good choice. Yeah, I do feel a lot of comfort from The Office. That's your comfort choice.
That's my comfort one
right now.
Well, you can just think about any of them. I was just going to kind of say, because to me, the hardest one is early 2000, because we're talking the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. That's 40 years of shows to have to whittle down to one. Because I love the classic 70s shows. I love all the going up through even to Seinfeld, Friends. I mean, there's all these, Cheers, Golden Girls, all the medical dramas, the from the 70s, the classic ones. I mean, I don't know. I mean, do I pick Gilligan's Island or the Brady Bunch?
Mm-hmm.
Because those are fun watches too, that I don't know if I would necessarily get old and tired of.
I'm trying to think though, like to your point, repeating. It's what you're watching over and over again. And let's like, so yeah. I think I might have it. I mean, it's hard because I think about shows like Boy Meets World, Step by Step, the TJF lineup. However, and I think if out of any of those, it would probably be Boy Meets World. However, I don't know if I get the same comfort. I can't wait to watch, even like Saved by the Bell. Oh, Saved by the Bell. I love those shows.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same feeling I feel with like how you say like Friends and The Office. To me, those are like warm blankets.
Right.
Like, oh, thank God. I feel like there's some almost like they're anxiety relievers. Like, I don't know what it is, even though it's funny to say that about The Office considering Michael Scott sometimes, but I think because of that, I'm going with the route of comfort and anxiety relief. So Friends is my classic.
Okay.
Since the year came out, because that is probably, I feel like that's always been my go-to like hotel show and also like sick show, like if I'm like sick or something like that. But also that's where I'm gonna go comfort. I'm gonna copy you, The Office is also that for me, very very like close. Friends has just been that longer, so right. The Office, it's the same thing. Hotel, if it's on a hotel, it's like I get so excited. And then I just, you know, these are the shows that I watch when if I have nothing else to watch, I just pick a Friends or The Office.
And it works.
I think there's something special about both Friends and The Office too, is that I did watch those live for the most part, while they were airing. So rewatching it now streaming, there's a certain nostalgia it holds too, I guess. I can remember a certain time in my life when I watched it the first time, you know, like when you watch certain episodes and things like that, or you remember like a season finale really well, like, or you are special, like Jim and Pam's Wedding. I still remember watching that with one of my best friends. And we were just like, and then for the one today, because I'm going to say it's still current, The Summer I Turned Pretty next year, the movie. The movie's coming out, so it's not done.
Yeah.
The Summer I Turned Pretty.
All right.
That has to take it right now. That is probably the most, like, and I repeat it, like, I have to stop myself from rewatching it right now because I want to save that momentum for when the movie is about to come out. So, yeah.
Awesome. All right. That's good. Well, again, I chose The Office, obviously, is my comfort. I'm probably going to regret, because I watched so much TV in the 70s and 80s and and then reruns from shows in the 60s that I watched in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
That I'm probably going to regret it. But I think because of where I am, I'm taking Gilligan's Island as my classic show.
Wow.
To watch on an island. And it would bring back memories if I'm there by myself, because me and my cousins used to watch it every day after school. We would go home to my grandmother's and we would watch Gilligan's Island at kindergarten. It was so great. So wow. I'm going Gilligan's Island. I'm probably going to get to my island and go, why in the world did I choose this stupid show out of all the shows I could have chosen? But I'm going to choose that one. I'm choosing The Office. And then for the current one, I think I need to do something, because those are a comedy and a silly show. So I think I need to do something like maybe in the House of Dragon's Realm or Sopranos or something that's a little darker and meatier.
Which the summer I turned pretty is a drama. So did change that up a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm trying to think of what a solid drama would be. House of the
you
Dragon.
Really would like rewatch the House of Dragon, like you could rewatch episodes.
Not as much as I would watch. I would always be watching Gilligan's Island and The Office, yeah. But when I wanted something a little bit more, I'd probably throw in House of the Dragons. So I think that's
well,
it.
That's fair. That is a fair point. Yeah. I will say, funny you said Gilligan's Island. When I was younger and I would watch Nick at Night, my favorite shows, there was just a couple that, I mean, I watched a lot of them, but I felt like Gilligan's Island was the treat one.
I was torn between that and the Brady Bunch, but I think Gilligan's Island has to be it. And I hope I don't regret it because there was so much classic TV in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. But yeah, I think that's a good choice. Well, anyway, your choices are good too. I would love to hear all of you what you think would be your take of a classic show, comfort show, and a current show that you would have on a desert island. You can hit us up on our Instagrams and everywhere else. Make sure you follow Susan at thischicksflix.com, everything we do, mongolshow.com. And I appreciate you hanging out with us, and we'll be back with more next week.